You are listening to Roll the Quadcast, a Blogger So Deer podcast where little old Charlie Brown is still trying to kick that football. Blogger So Deer is the go-to website for the best independent analysis of Wake Forest athletics.
Welcome to episode 4 of Roll the Quadcast. Recording this here on Sunday, October 13th. I'm Rob Reinhardt, joined as always by my co-host Riley Johnston. Riley, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well. Had a very productive weekend, getting some stuff moved into my apartment. Got a new member of the family, got a dog named Wrigley, so a shout out to him. But it was a productive weekend.
Yeah, so Wrigley, he's still learning to bark, so if you hear anything in the background, that's young Wrigley, very, very adorable German Shepherd mix. But into the sports, we had a productive weekend, and Wake Forest did not lose again, coming off the bye week, undefeated as always, going against the bye week.
For the 100th straight time, we were successful against the bye, and so you can't complain. A weekend where we don't lose is always a great weekend for Wake Forest.
Two weekends in a row where we don't lose is fantastic. Next weekend, homecoming weekend, we might lose. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We're going to play, but we might win.
We might.
So, Riley, we'll just jump right into it. Let's talk about the Maryland Terrapins, who we take on this upcoming Saturday, and it may be at 3:30 on ESPNU, at Wake, obviously, and a game that might be the last time we play Maryland for the, who knows, maybe forever.
Yeah, I don't really see a circumstance where we would play them again. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense for either team to play one another. I think Maryland has other teams in the conference that they would want to keep natural rivalries with.
Virginia.
Maybe a Virginia or somebody like that. But, you know, I don't think we have a big rivalry. But it'd be great if we could beat them, send them on their way to the Big Ten and out of ACC country. So, you know, it would be a little extra sweet this time if we could pull off a victory next weekend.
It absolutely would. And you mentioned their rivalry against Virginia, which is fitting. Since, as we said, Wake did not play this weekend, but Maryland did, and they happened to play Virginia, and they snuck out a 27-26 victory. Virginia actually missed a field goal with about 10 seconds remaining, a 42-yarder that would have almost definitely given them the victory. Riley, did you take anything away from this game, or what are your thoughts on Maryland in general?
Yeah, it was a little surprising to me. You know, I caught a little bit of the third quarter, and it seemed like they were two evenly matched teams. I didn't catch them. I think I left off when Virginia was up by six, but I thought they went down. I went back today and looked over the box score a little bit. Thought they came back down and scored and snuck out a victory. You know, it surprised me. I thought Maryland was by far a better team than Virginia. Virginia lost by 3 touchdowns last week to improved Ball State team led by former E-line coach Pete Limbo, but, you know, that's not a good loss to anybody, especially
3 touchdowns at home. Absolutely
especially
not.
To a matching team.
Matching.
But I was impressed with Maryland after their West Virginia game. Obviously, a lot of teams are going to get embarrassed by Florida State this year. Maybe not to the tune of 63.
No, 63. That's pretty embarrassing.
But they didn't have, against Virginia, they didn't have their C.J. Brown, who was out with, I guess, concussion-like symptoms.
Yes, suffered against Florida State.
Yeah, so they played sophomore Caleb Rowe, who I think got some time last year in the Russian roulette of quarterbacks that was 2012 Maryland football.
World's most dangerous job, Maryland quarterback.
So, you know, it's a completely different team with the dual threat of C.J. Brown. And, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better receiving core in America, honestly, than Diggs and Deion Long. And, you know, they've got a great supporting cast as well. And, I mean, you know, I don't know. I expected them to win by a lot more, and it kind of made me feel a little better about our chances next weekend. They're 5-1. Their wins are coming against Old Dominion, West Virginia, Connecticut, and
Florida International.
None of those blow you away. And the only good team they played was FSU, and they lost by
9 touchdowns.
9 touchdowns. So, I don't know. They haven't played a team really West Virginia is a little better than us, I think, in Sagarin and Football Outsider rankings, and they blew them out. But I don't know; they seem to be a little low in confidence right now. I mean, what are your thoughts about it? I think you might have taken in more of the game than I did.
Yeah, you know, touching on your point, I think the line was 7. I thought Maryland would still cover that fairly easily, even without C.J. Brown.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, you mentioned their incredible receiving core, and I thought that you just get Diggs and Long the ball in space and let them create. And
they had a decent number. I think they both combined. They had 90 yards apiece. I mean, that's not bad at all.
They both nearly had 200 yards between them. Your point,
they didn't exactly shut them down.
They still got them the ball, but you know, Rowe completed just over 50% of his passes, which not good. And about half of for about 330 yards, and about half of those yards came on three of his 18 completions. So the rest of the time was completely dink and dunk. And you're right about their schedule. They haven't really played an average team necessarily. I mean, Connecticut is not good. They fired their coach already. You know, they play tight with Michigan, but I really don't think Michigan's that great of a football team, to be perfectly honest with you. So it's very tough to say what we're going to see with Maryland. I do expect C.J. Brown to be back. According to the Testudo Times, he was cleared to practice today against Sunday, October 13th. And we believe he practiced, so we'll see how he goes. Obviously, with concussion-like symptoms, it's definitely a hot-button issue across football of all levels. So we'll see how cautious they're going to be with his health status. But as of now, I would probably expect that C.J. Brown would play. And mobile quarterbacks in the past have certainly given Wake fits, and C.J. Brown even came in 2 years ago against Maryland when we beat them to win our sixth game of the season and clinch bowl eligibility, and he still gave us some problems.
Yeah, just kind of looking at Maryland's defense just to see. I mean, I have no idea what we're going to run on offense. You know, we came out against State and ran a pass-heavy offense. We've done a little more of that, but you know, I still hear we want to run the option. We want to like run first to set up the path, but not really working out. And Maryland's 32nd nationally in rush defense, but they're 63rd nationally in pass defense. So, I mean, I really think that we should attack their pass defense. I mean, I don't think I think State had a better pass defense than Maryland. I think they're 33rd in the country in pass defense, and we tore them up pretty well.
Yeah.
So I think if we can keep those splits on the offensive line and protect well for Tanner, let him run a bit, then I don't know. I like our offense if we can play to our strengths instead of trying to fit the players to what we want to do. And I don't think we have that kind of talent coming in where we can just say this is the system and change it every year. So I think if we stick to our guns, the pass net, getting Camp out in space and getting some help from Spencer Bishop here, Jonathan Williams there, Jared Crump, whoever it may be, a little bit of running help, then I think we stand a good chance to keep it close with Maryland and go down to the wire.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, talking about this a couple weeks ago and even last week, we sort of forgot that Maryland was that other team on our schedule, not because we had any lost respect for Maryland, but, you know, my opinion of them has gone down, certainly with the 63-0 loss against Florida State and them struggling to beat Virginia in a game they probably really even should have lost, even with their backup quarterback, I understand.
Wow, a ton of yards to Virginia on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia absolutely demolished them on the ground, and that helped them possess the ball for nearly 38 minutes of a 60-minute ball game, which obviously eliminates Maryland's strongest part, which is their offensive attack. So I'm now more encouraged more than ever going into this game. You know, I'm not going to make a prediction just yet. We'll make those in our ACC picks later on, but I'm definitely a lot more encouraged and hopeful that we can emerge victorious from this game. Riley, have any other thoughts on Maryland so far?
Not really. Thinking back about something you said, you know, they haven't played an average team. I don't even know for an average team. Like by all standard metrics, we're a well below average team.
Yes.
So, you know, if we're worse than West Virginia, then I don't like the transitive property, but I think I feel a little more encouraged after our performance against State. We have time to prepare for them. I don't know whether giving the coaching staff more time is a good thing or a bad thing, given that we had all offseason and we came up with options. So,
less is more.
I'll stay optimistic, and I think we have I don't know. I think it'll be closer than the numbers might indicate right now, even though Maryland was ranked 25th. Could be the hopeless optimist in me, but I tend to think it could be close.
Yeah, I mean, the line is about 7. We'll see how that fluctuates throughout the week, but 7 is it's a one possession ball game.
Yep.
And you know, as Jim Grobe has always said, and thanks Jim Grobe teams, we've always said, you know, keep it within a touchdown late and you got a chance.
Absolutely.
You got a chance. So that's I don't want to say that's all you can ask for, but you'll take it if you got a chance later and hope to sneak out with a big. Well, you hope it's a game like State last weekend.
And right.
You're not.
I don't like close games. I like when we blow out the.
Yeah, I like relaxing. But so that'll conclude our Maryland preview, and then Riley, you know, I was time for normally we have Twitter questions. This is still a Twitter topic. It's sort of our soapbox section, you know. Sometimes,
oh, it's definitely our soapbox.
Sometimes we talk about going forward on fourth down, and credit to Ron Rivera for going forward on fourth down today.
Hey, get you a big victory.
Get you a big victory. So all you Panthers fans out there, I know Riley's a Panthers fan, so I'm happy for that. We saw some tweets on Friday morning talking about Duke football, and not basketball, Duke football being the best program, not team right now, best program in the football program in the state of North Carolina. Riley, I saw some tweets you shout out around 8 or 7:45 or something tonight. What are your thoughts on that statement?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little late to the party, obviously, in the internet and Twitter world. 2.5 days later, it might as well be an eternity. But
might as well.
I was at work. I didn't see the tweets, and I heard from Rob and Saul kind of catching up on everything. And I went back and I asked Rob earlier. I said, you know, did whoever? I believe it was Adam Rowe of
the Devil Lair.
The Devil Lair
24/7,
right?
Site.
The 24/7 for
yes.
Duke football and basketball, that said Duke was the best football program in the state of North Carolina. Not team, but program.
And they thought moving
like,
forward.
So, I mean, it's hard. I didn't get the whole conversation, I guess. The whole state is down this year. ECU, I thought, was the head and shoulders best team after they took care of business against Carolina. They lost to a pretty good Tulane team. And I don't know that much about
Tulane football.
I do not. No, I think it's they're 5-2.
Shame on you.
Right, well, they're 5-2, 3-0 in their conference. So they beat ECU. You know, and this isn't even. I want to make sure framing this. I don't think Wake is the best team, unless you look at. I mean, I don't know what criteria you could possibly use to say that Duke is the best program.
Yes.
Now, this year, they may be the best team in the state. According to the advanced metric, they seem to be better than all other teams. And, you know, it's not...
As of the halfway mark
of the
season.
But it's like they're... It's like being the tallest dwarf. You know, it's not that much.
It's possible all four ACC North Carolina schools do not make a bowl game this year. It's,
yeah, and
it's possible.
And I think Duke might get to 6 this year, but I mean, once again, I'm not slamming Duke, but they had one year last year where they finally didn't go 2-10, and all of a sudden they're the best program moving forward. I like David Cutcliffe. I think what he's done is possibly similar to what Jim Grove's done, but I mean, Jim Grove won an ACC championship
at
Wake Forest. And I mean,
had multiple bowl teams and has produced a decent amount of NFL talent.
Right, and I just don't know how you can say that Duke is the best program moving forward. And you know, I know, right? You can speak to some of the statistics on this because we went back and looked even over the last 5 years. It's an asinine statement to say that Duke is the best program in the state. I mean, it's foolish.
I mean, guys, I'm normally a pretty level-headed person. I normally don't get that wound up, but. This just set me off, and this was ludicrous. I mean, it was downright offensive. I mean, by any metric you want to look at. Look, the burden of proof is not on us. The burden of proof in this case is on that Duke247 website, which is a fine site.
Yeah, I've got nothing against the site.
I have nothing against the
site,
but this statement just...
I think you lose credibility when you make statements like that that are so easily refutable by stats, basic statistics.
I mean, guys, I'm just going to throw out some stats because I looked since 2008, since that's when Cutcliffe got there. You know, I certainly don't want to hold him accountable for anything that happened before
the
that.
Ted Roof era.
God knows we don't want to hold anybody accountable for that. But, I mean, by any objective measure, I mean, pick one, overall record. North Carolina, 39-25. If you want to tell me, well, some of those were vacated. All right, fine, some of those were vacated. NC State, 35-29. Wake, you know, 27-35. Duke, 21-40. In terms of overall points scored relative to their opponents, University of North Carolina, and again, they are not Alabama, but they've had pretty decent success over the past 5 years. They've outscored opponents by 419 points over the past 5 seasons. Duke has been the bizarro of North Carolina. They have gotten outscored by 362 points over that same time span. I mean, Carolina's gone 500 in conference. Duke's gone 9-31. If you're looking at NFL players drafted, Carolina, and I started with the 2009 draft. Again, it wouldn't be fair to hold Cutlove accountable for the 2008 draft. 23, Duke, 1. So, I mean, 1. I mean, you look at average recruiting ranking, Carolina and State are 4th and about 10th. Duke is down at average at 11.6 over the past 5 years. I mean, their record against the ACC schools is 3-9. There's just no legitimate thing that says it's even close. I mean, beyond a reasonable doubt, they are the last. They are last. And who knows if Carolina or Wake or State's even best. Depends on the criteria you want to use. If you want to use Wake's criteria of the ACC championship in 2006, well, yeah, we'd be pretty high on up there. If you want to say that 7 years ago, that's fine. I'll respect that argument, too. It was just ludicrous to me, and I hate getting on soapboxes, but we just thought this was something that had to be
right, and
discussed.
Also, David Cutcliffe has done a great job at Duke since taking
I take
over.
Nothing away from
and
what
I mean,
he's done.
And by great, I mean he's 25-42 at Duke, and I think he's done a great job. If my memory
yes.
serves correctly, Duke hadn't won an ACC game in the 3 years prior to when David Cutcliffe took over. He won Coach of the Year last year. They went 6-7. That's good for Duke. And as a Wake Forest fan, we understand the struggle. That Duke football goes against. And, I mean, their basketball team is successful.
I think they've been successful.
Yes, but football is a different kind of – you have to recruit – well,
you have to
recruit
a lot
right,
more, 85 scholarships compared to 13.
Right, and that really is
where
the academic standards can hurt you.
Yes.
I mean, football, you have to get players, so if your top-notch guys get hurt, you have got to throw in there. Once again, not the best example, Alabama's subbing in 5 stars. If a guy gets hurt, they're the 5-star. If
yes.
a guy from Wake and Duke gets hurt, there's a 1-star. Wake Forest is starting a walk-on right now, an outside linebacker.
Hunter
now,
Williams.
Right, and
doing
a fine
job.
Once again, it's not a criticism of Hunter Williams. It's not a criticism of the Wake Forest or the Dukes. But Duke's not the best program in the state of North Carolina.
No.
And as much as it hurts me to say this, Carolina's probably the best program moving forward. Larry Fedora, I think, is going to do a pretty good job there. You know, Dave Doran,
yeah.
great young coach.
Yeah.
David Cutcliffe, great, good coach.
Yeah, I mean,
Jim Grove, good coach. Great, he's led us to great thing. But,
yes.
I mean, you can't possibly look at it objectively and think that Duke is the best team in the state.
Yes.
Best program in the state.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, some of the tweets I see regarding Duke football, they seem to think, again, David Cutcliffe's a fine coach. You know, he gets all this credit for being the offensive coordinator for Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is probably going to do okay no matter who his offensive coordinator was. And he was the coach at Ole Miss when Eli Manning was there and led Ole Miss to the most success they've had since the 70s, I believe. So kudos to him for developing his player into the number one draft pick.
Oh, absolutely.
Eli Manning. We'll ignore this year. He has been phenomenal, 2-time Super Bowl champion. But David Cutcliffe did not invent the forward pass, contrary to popular belief.
Right. AJ, it's frustrating to see so many people just claim Duke to be God's great gift to North Carolina football when they had 1 6-7 year.
You know,
this isn't a thing of Duke versus Wake.
No.
Duke beat us last year.
This is a thing of logic.
Right. I don't dislike.
They might be favored to beat us this year. They probably will.
Well, according to
Sagan,
I think they're 9 points better than us on Pure Predictor, which means on our field.
About a 6-point or a 3-point
favorite. A
3-point
favorite. And that's fine. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we at Wake Forest prefer to use logic when we're dissecting arguments.
Congrats to us if they beat them.
Yeah, I mean,
if they beat us.
Right. And I don't know. It's just it's a soapbox topic that, I mean, it really frustrates. I know it frustrates me.
It defies logic.
Right, and it frustrates Rob as well. And, you know, we just kind of wanted to talk about that as our, I guess, Twitter topic of the day. And once again, we're not trying to offend Duke fans. The 5 Duke football fans out there, we're not trying to offend them.
I love Duke football. I actually used to like Duke
right,
football
fans.
Because I'm so used to Duke basketball, Alabama football fans.
Right, and then the Carolina media, the Duke media, I should say, the North Carolina media.
Is rolling with
it. All in on Duke football, which makes no sense.
Look. You beat Troy by a touchdown. You're scheduling Memphis. You're scheduling – I'll spot you NC State.
Hey, and you know that's smart scheduling.
And I applaud that because, you know, people have asked, well, how would you schedule if you were a team like Wake or something like that? And I say, you know what? I would schedule an FCS program, and I would schedule cupcakes.
Absolutely.
I don't want to hear, oh, we schedule Stanford, we schedule Alabama. No, those are throwaway losses, and the others are guaranteed wins.
Right.
Okay.
And which, and that, you know what, that's fine. That's what you do as a Duke or as a Wake Forest.
Which,
that's how you get wins and you build program prestige.
But
when you
call
beat
a spade a spade.
Right, but when you beat them, don't act like you're the world beater because you beat Troy by seven.
Good win over Navy, but
yeah,
you know what?
Hey, that was a good win. And they got Anthony Boone back, and they seem to be rolling a little better now.
Yes.
And I hope they do. I hope they win the rest of their games, sans Wake Forest, and I'll eat crow and say David Cutcliffe is a savant of a football coach. You know what? I somehow don't think that's going to happen.
No. And so transitioning from that soapbox to one question we were asked last week via the OG boards from Strickland33. And again, you can always reach out to us, speaking of Twitter, using the hashtag AskRTQ. If you ever want to reach out to us for questions, and next week will be even better because we'll be coming off the Maryland game. No matter what happens. But he had a basketball question for us, which, you know, hey, you look up and the leaves are falling down and it's mid-October already.
You're starting 3 weeks against Brevard.
We start in 3 weeks against the powerhouse that is Brevard in our exhibition game. But that does bring us to his question. And it was really, you know, do we have any news on Greg McClinton, who is an incoming freshman this year for Wake Forest, incoming small forward, towards ACL in January, I believe.
Yeah, it was sometime around Christmas of last year.
Sometime around Christmas of last year, and sometime during the senior season, as well as Daniel Green, who we're really not sure what his injury is.
Yeah, that's I'm not sure what's going on.
What his setback
regard,
is. He did tear his ACL in the Canada exhibition games.
Not sure if it was against Brock or Ryerson.
No,
I'd have to consult the record.
Have to consult Google before I do that, but it was against, it was on international grounds. So, Riley, Strickland 33's question was, have we heard anything about McClinton and or Green so far?
And I think John Mundy, J.P. Mundy, attended the Wake Forest media day last week. We have the Black and Gold Madness, I believe, this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock.
I think it's eight.
Eight o'clock at the
Reynolds.
At Reynolds Gym.
So if you're a student, be sure to check it out. Or if you're an alum coming in for homecoming weekend, check it out if you can.
Yeah, and I think they say get there early. We've been in years past, and it does pack up. Even the last 3 years, it's been really full.
It's not the biggest gym in the world, and so hopefully. Hopefully it's full because you love to see the support for the players.
Yeah, and there's been really good support recently at that event. But I think Greg McClinton, to answer the question, I believe he heard the news. It was talked about at that time that he would probably be back before right around Christmas time, which would be really, really good to get him in, back in time for ACC play. Yeah, the freshman, we probably won't rely extremely heavily on him as we've relied on freshmen the past couple of years.
Especially last year.
Right, and you know, him and Miles Overton are the only two freshmen. And hopefully he'll be able to come back and he'll help us out a little bit.
Yeah, that would certainly be nice. If he comes back before Christmas, our first game after Christmas is at Xavier, and we could certainly use all the help we could for that tough contest up in Cincinnati. Riley, anything else you want to say about basketball quickly? Obviously, in several weeks, we plan on doing a pretty big ACC preview podcast, a big Wake Forest basketball season podcast. So we'll certainly be touching on a lot more basketball there. But Riley, anything else you wanted to add on that?
Yeah, not a lot. You know, I'm excited about basketball season. It's under 3 weeks away. I think we have Brevard at the exhibition game on November 1st.
Yes.
And then we have Colgate at the first home game on the 8th,
I
believe, a week later. I'm excited. I don't know.
You and I have our season tickets next to one another. We're stuck with one another for the week.
Yeah, you know, the last 3 years have been rough. Obviously, we're still looking to turn a corner with our current coaching staff and our current players. So we will hopefully
turn the corner.
We will hopefully begin to make that rounded corner this year. So.
And, a quick note. You mentioned we opened with an exhibition against Brevard on the 1st. On the 2nd, the Lady Deeks actually opened. Have their exhibition against Wingate, so go and check that out if you're a Dean Club member. Get into that for free, and if not, I think tickets are about $5 or something. So it's good to get on support. And Jen Hoover and their staff are doing a really good job. So I'm actually very excited about the future of Wake Forest women's basketball.
Yeah, they should be pretty good in years going forward. I know we paid a little more attention to them than probably most others, but I think this year, next year,
It should be quality to watch in a tough league.
Yeah.
In a tough league, get out there and support the team, as we say in Olympic sports, any sport you can. But you know, Riley, now it's time to transition into our ACC pick segment. And let's start with the one coming up. It's not the biggest game of the week, but it's still a big game. It's the first game of the week. It's Miami at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Your favorite school, of course.
Oh, yeah.
That was complete sarcasm, by the way. I think, I'm not sure if who Riley hates more than Carolina, but...
Might be Duke football.
Might
keep talking
might
about
be
Duke football.
Might
like,
be Duke. They're, yeah, might
savants.
But, Riley, what do you think about this game where the Hurricanes coming in 5-0 against Tar Heels at 1-4?
Well, Miami's one of the three undefeated teams left in the ACC, only conference with three undefeated teams left. So, take that, SEC.
Hashtag go ACC.
Indeed, and Miami moved in the top 10, I believe. So
they're right in there, number 10.
And no lie, Carolina is literally shutting down Chapel Hill. I believe they're shutting off Franklin Street starting at about noon on Thursday. And they're taking big games.
Is basketball practice starting?
Yeah.
It might be
a joke, but it might be started. And I assume P.J. Harrison will be there getting in trouble.
Well, I'm sure he's... I don't know if it's homecoming this week for Carolina, but I'm sure he's riding in some parade, leaving the car, passing out candy.
According to Roy Williams, if you get there early, you can probably watch P.J. Hairston running all the stairs to the stadium. But don't worry, he will be cleared to play by the first game of the season. But yeah, they have no chance against Miami. They're 1-4. They're not going to win the game. Miami should, I hope they do, blow them out and keep winning. I'd like to see an undefeated Miami team take on the winner of the Florida State-Clemson game in the ACC title game. That's what we were expecting when Miami came over, and they've yet to live up to it. Virginia Tech's pretty much carried the banner since they've come over. And I think Miami's got the team to do it this year. And Carolina's got to be concerned. If they lose this game, they fall to 1-5. So forget Coastal Division title. Well, they've got their ring from last year.
They got their ring. Hey, they got a billboard, too.
Yeah. It may or may not be their state.
It may or may not be their state.
They've also got games after Miami. They got Boston College at NC State, Virginia at Pittsburgh, and then the powerhouse that is Duke. And that's a clear loss, apparently. So, I mean, those teams aren't exactly great world beaters.
Yeah,
but
they could win or lose any of those games, and you wouldn't
be
surprised. Outside of Old Dominion, probably expect.
And, Carolina, going back to the – Carolina's got probably the most talent in the state.
But if you look at their recruiting rankings, they have. Certainly, they lost Gio Bernard, as we've talked about, who had – he is very good with the juke stick button from what we've seen. If you watched NFL Red Zone,
he looked good
today.
He had a couple of great runs.
I also think Miami's going to win relatively easily. You look at Carolina's rush defense, and you look at Duke Johnson and basic math. So we both got the Hurricanes in that one. Next game we'll get into, we just mentioned it briefly, Old Dominion at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, Old Dominion's got a pretty good quarterback at the FCS level.
That's far more analysis than I was expecting based on that one. I'm impressed.
Pittsburgh has a pretty good quarterback in Tom Savage.
I don't
think Old Dominion can stop Street and Boyd.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a little too much. That's going to be a high-scoring affair, I bet. I'm eager to see the over-under. I haven't done a ton of research, but I bet that's a pretty high-scoring one.
Okay.
But I'm taking Pittsburgh.
But you're taking Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Pittsburgh at home. I also am taking Pittsburgh. Syracuse at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I took Georgia Tech on the road against the Storm and Mormons, and I paid the price.
Hey, don't mess with teams from Utah. Stanford found that out the other day.
Yeah, that was a good day yesterday for Utah football, and Brigham Young took care of Georgia Tech. I missed that, and I think that made me fall to you this past week. Syracuse got a big one against State in Raleigh. I think we were both wrong on that one.
We were wrong on that one.
I'm going to keep riding the hot hand at Syracuse, and I'm going to say they go to Georgia or go to Atlanta and take care of business.
Well, I'm going to take Vadley and hope he's a hell of an engineer this week and hope he can get it done.
He's from Durham, and somehow Duke let him go.
He is from Durham, somehow Duke. So jokes on us. Joke. See, we can make fun of ourselves, dude. We're comfortable doing that.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah, you hate to see that happen, but I'm gonna take Georgia Tech. You're gonna take Syracuse. So
and actually, they don't need to. We were talking about this pre-show. I was wrong last week. They don't need to They played Elon, they beat them, and they have Alabama State or Alabama A&M left on their schedule. So they, that game doesn't matter because two FCS teams.
I think
you made the point of scheduling flawless probably when we were expected to go to 9 conference games, but you had to add another.
Yeah,
game.
I guess that's what happened. And you know, they play Georgia, and who knows what Georgia team's going to show up with now.
Yeah.
Absolutely crippled they've been getting with injuries. But moving on to a big-time matchup, and no, I'm not talking about Florida State and Clemson yet, is the Duke football at UVA game.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little more interesting than I would have. I
would have guessed.
Yeah, Duke looked really good yesterday against Navy. They did. I saw bits and pieces of it.
Give them credit when they play well.
They shut down Navy. Worked defensively.
Yeah.
Virginia looked better, too. So this matchup, by no means world beaters, but I think it could
close.
Be a good game. I'm going with Duke. They're 4-2. I think this will probably give them their fifth win. They're not exactly road warriors, I don't think, though. I mean,
no.
I don't know.
They won that Wake last year, of course. Again, joke seems to be always on us.
Yeah, but
I'll
take Duke against Virginia. I like Duke. All jokes aside, right now, for this current week, they are the best team in the world.
Well, last week or 2 weeks ago, I took UVA because my mother went there, and special birthday shout out to my mother, Bretta Reinhardt. Love you very much. Happy birthday to you, who went to UVA. So I will take her Wahoo Wahs to defeat the Duke Blue Devils.
What is a Wahoo? Can you shed some light on it? Is it a fish?
I think it's a fish. It's a cheer. They got a cavalier. I don't know what's going on over there.
You're
but
telling.
And you just don't know it. But well, anyway, so sparing us from my limericks over here, and we are going to transition into a. We talked about world beaters. Now, these are world beaters. Florida State at Clemson. I believe College Game Day will be there. It will be the ABC 8 p.m. primetime game.
Well, probably one of the biggest games in ACC history.
In all honesty, it probably is, Riley. This game has legitimate national title implications to a Clemson. Had that big opening Labor Day weekend victory against Georgia. They've been looking strong. They didn't look as strong this past weekend. Got to be honest, I was less than impressed with their victory over Boston College. Obviously, I was impressed with their victory over Wake Forest. They beat us 56-7. They were impressive over Syracuse. Florida State, man, Jameis Winston is awesome.
He is just.
I love watching Johnny Football, but I love watching Jameis Winston. I mean, every week he just keeps getting better. You cannot sack the man.
He's the real deal.
He is the real deal. So that'll be an interesting matchup. Vic Beasley, Clemson's defensive lineman, I believe, leads the nation in sacks. And Clemson fans will tell you, not Jadeveon Clowney. They make that point that Clowney does not.
Clowney's in like 100. He's not even on the list.
He's sometimes not even on the team bus. But, you know.
Spurrier's driving it over him, too.
Spurrier. He's driving it over, and then he's backing it up and driving it over again. But this game honestly has absolute national championship implications.
Agreed.
Clemson ranked third, Florida State ranked fifth. Riley, do you agree with those rankings?
I mean, based on the body of work so far, Clemson has the best win out of the two teams in Georgia. And you know, the way rankings work, it's not...
You win,
you move up, you lose, you go down. Right, it's not exactly... I think we've talked about this before. I think that preseason rankings shouldn't exist. I think...
Well, I disagree with that.
Really? Okay, well,
yes.
Maybe we can save that for a different day. But my opinion is that, you know, especially when the rankings matter now with the BCS, in terms of where you are, you know, if you start at 8th and you're really the 25th best team and you win... I mean, this year could be a perfect example. I mean, Alabama's probably going to go undefeated. Oregon looks pretty good. I don't know if they're going to go undefeated, but I mean, they beat
Washington.
Yeah, they beat Washington.
Pretty bad
yesterday.
At Washington.
I don't know if they played Stanford yet. I don't think they have.
They have not played Stanford.
So that'll be, if they win that game, I think they'll probably go undefeated. Ohio State looks good to go undefeated.
Yeah.
One of these two teams could go undefeated,
absolutely,
depending on that Miami game. Whoever wins this game will probably play Miami in the Coastal. And that
Florida State does play them in the regular season.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be even better.
All
so,
right.
But I think Florida State is the better team than Clemson. And I know Clemson fans will hate to hear me say that, and probably
yell at me a little bit on Twitter. But
that's
okay.
As long as you click and listen,
I mean, I really think Florida State, what is going to come, Florida State and Clemson both have very good offenses with Taj Boyd and Jameis Winston. But it comes down to defense. And Florida State defense is honestly, I think they're top 10 in nearly every statistical category. And they've blown teams out. They've blown out ranked teams. And Clemson had a great win against Georgia. Nobody can
deny that, to your point.
No, but, I mean, it just comes down to what I've seen, and I think Florida State passes the eye test better than Clemson. They're both very good teams. They're both top 10 teams.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
I think Florida State is among the three or four best teams in the country, and I think Clemson is among one of the 8 to 10 best teams in the country.
Yeah, I mean, for my money, Florida State is the third best team in the country behind Alabama and behind Oregon. And earlier you were talking about, well, Alabama – you know, loses players, they bring in 4 and 5 starts off the bench. And that's kind of what has happened with Florida State. You look at how many defensive players and players they lost in general to the NFL draft last year. But they are probably even better because, you know what, they lose a first-round NFL draft pick at quarterback in E.J. Manuel. And they got better at the quarterback position.
No doubt they got better. And that's not a slight to E.J. Manuel.
No.
That's just how good James was.
And you know what? This may offend some people, you may disagree, but I truly believe this. I think Jameis Winston right now is better than Taj Boyd right now. He definitely will be. That's up for debate, and that's not a knock on Taj Boyd. He'll probably be a first-round NFL draft pick.
They're both going to be probably top 20 at some point in their career.
I mean, I wouldn't be shy. I would probably take Winston first. He's not eligible this year, but that's a discussion for another day. But, you know, Florida State has been, we talk about reloading, they have been recruiting, Jimbo Fisher has been recruiting on the same level, well, not quite on the same level as Nick Saban, because nobody has been recruiting on the same level as Nick Saban, but Les Miles and Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher have been, over the past several seasons, just knocking it out of the park in terms of their recruiting and just bringing in so much elite talent.
Oh, absolutely.
And you look at just, I think Florida State's better on offense, and I think they're better on defense. Special teams could be interesting, but I'm not sure it's going to come down to special teams, to be quite honest with you. So
I think Florida State opened as a 3-point favorite at Death Valley. It's been a while since they've won there. I think it's been.
I don't think they've won in, I think it's since like 2004 or
yeah, I mean,
3
that's a long
or
time
something.
Ago. Yeah, I think it might even be longer than that. I think it was a.
It's been a while.
I think it's 11 years or so. Something like
I
that.
Know Dabo has not lost to Florida State at home.
Right.
And they, Clemson's had very good home.
Saw a couple of, I think one player today for Clemson, I forget who was, I saw a tweet of how I was kind of reading stuff up on it.
Yeah.
It said that they had the game last year and let it slip away. Or they were the better team than Florida State last year. They lost by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
It was 49-31 with a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
I'm not
sure what game they were watching if they thought they were the
better
team.
I mean, I think they're both very good teams. I'm not sliding either team. I just think Florida State is better.
I agree.
And if they lose, then I'll come back and eat crow. But
I'll say congratulations to Clemson.
And I think hopefully it'll be a good game, lives up to the hype. And I'm glad Clemson didn't Clemson yesterday, and we actually get to see the game because
they were losing 14-9 in the fourth.
Yeah, for 3 quarters, it looked like they might pull another one of their patented moves.
Yes,
the Clemson,
the Clemson. So you think Florida State's the better team?
Yeah, I think they're gonna
win. They will win.
Yeah.
I agree with you. So that brings us to.
Another
nationally televised game, the 3:30 ESPNU game, Maryland at Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Riley, we talked about Maryland for the first about 8 to 10 minutes of the podcast. Any final thoughts, predictions?
If C.J. Brown plays, I like Maryland. I think they look pretty good. I think he should be cleared. It should be okay.
I think he'll be cleared.
I hope he plays. I don't have anything really against C.J. Brown. He had a rough injury year
ACL last year.
He's a really smart guy from what I've heard. I think he's already graduated and going towards
his
master's degree. He's
good for
a
him.
Smart guy. Dual threat.
Yes.
Good player. He's got a great receiving core around him. I think it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a great test for our defense, who's actually performing well statistically despite the first few games the offense giving them absolutely
no
help. No
field position.
They're on the field a lot as well.
Fatigue, absolutely.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be close. I don't know why I'm picking this. I'm going to take Wake to win 27-24. And I think this might be an optimistic pick that, I don't know. We need to win this game to even consider going to a bowl because we've got Duke and Syracuse after this. Those are two games that we're going to have to win. Miami, no. Florida State, no. Vanderbilt.
At Vanderbilt.
Maybe. They haven't been faring that well. And if they have nothing to play for at that point,
it
might help out.
It's interesting. I mean, Vanderbilt has, I believe, 3 wins. They still have games against Kentucky, who is not good in football.
They actually surprised me last night. They played well with Alabama.
For a while, and then they got...
midway, second quarter, and then Alabama.
Then Alabama happened.
And then they're back at 5 stars.
But, yeah, I mean, Kentucky knows about bringing in 5 stars off the bench for their basketball program. But,
they had 5 stars, too. They were just watching them.
Yeah, they're, but, Vanderbilt still plays Tennessee and Kentucky, so those are winnable games, but they still play Florida, so it's going to be close whether or not that game matters to Vanderbilt.
I think Vandy will be sitting right at 5 wins, which might be unfortunate for Wake Forest.
Of course.
Because I think Vandy's probably better than Wake Forest. They absolutely shown up the last 2 years.
Yes.
That's on down the road, but Vandy's a potential game that we could
win
as well.
That's a potential game.
I mean, Wake has to win this weekend against Maryland, in my opinion, if they want to go bowling, and, you know, you hate to harp on the path, but, you know, we should be...
ULM is going to come back to
right.
Us, I think.
Well, that and BC. And I'm not calling BC a bad team at all. BC, it looked better. But, I mean...
We just played so terribly.
Yeah, it was. BC looked
part.
Good. BC played well. And a lot of that was them forcing us to not look very good at all. But, I mean, once again, the offense was absolutely horrific.
Yeah, we kind of took ourselves out of that
and
game.
And we weren't putting our players in position to succeed. And I'm willing
like
to get,
we did against NC State.
Right, exactly. And kudos to the coaching staff. They figured out something different, and that worked well. Hopefully they can continue to adjust and not overthink. I think if we just play to our strengths, we can stay in this. And I'm going to take Wake 27-24 in the minor upset.
Well, I hope... Like no other, you're correct, and I fall down a game in our ACC pick'em, in which I am leading 9-4. You're 8-5, but I hope like
go ahead
no
and
other,
twist the knife a little bit.
Just throwing out there, you know, I'm not always right, so I like saying when I am, but I just think Maryland's going to win this one. I got them 27-20. I will say, if C.J. Brown does not play.
Oh, that changed the game.
I know you said even if he
does.
Yeah,
I still like Wake.
I expect Wake to win if Rowe is Maryland's quarterback.
Why should they be with a linebacker, I think?
Well, I had said that. Turns out I was incorrect. Apparently the linebacker didn't play for another 2 weeks. But that game was still...
Well, we had seven, eight players out as well. So.
Yeah, we had some suspension issues.
Battle of
futility in that game.
Yeah, I like Wake. You like Maryland. So, I mean... Hopefully I'm
hopefully
right.
Riley's
not just
right.
Because I'm right, but because we win the game.
But because
we
win the game.
We have more stuff to talk about that's positive next Sunday night.
Absolutely. But as always, we'll make sure we win the
we
tailgate
play
on Saturday.
The waiting game. Oh, absolutely they're going to win the tailgate.
This should be phenomenal. Come and stop by the BSD tailgate in the Annex. We'll be the ones having all the fun. Riley, any other final thoughts on anything Wake Forest, athletics-related, life-related?
Katie Stengel, she's out, women's soccer player, possibly one of the best players in the country.
Arguably the best player in Wake Forest history.
Yeah, she had a...
She has some blood clots.
Blood clots in her legs, and she needs blood thinners, anticoagulants, and you can't play...
For about 3 months.
You can't play athletic events, or you can't compete in athletic events, because if the risk of injury is increased, then internal bleeding can be very dangerous. I'm not a doctor, but...
You play one on TV.
Right, I've seen
it. You say that Holiday Inn Express.
That's the right answer. But yeah, so she's out. They lost, I believe, I didn't see the final score. They were down 2-0.
Yeah, I believe that was the final score. Number one, Virginia. And I feel bad for making that Holiday Inn Express joke about, you know, the serious matter. In all seriousness, we really wish her nothing but the best. And obviously her health is paramount to any great success she would bring us on the soccer field, the pitch, as they like to call it. The footy pitch. So we wish the Lady Deacs nothing but the best moving forward. They still
it's
have
just unfortunate.
They still have plenty of talent on the team, but obviously it's just very unfortunate for Katie. I saw on Twitter earlier today she said this was one of the hardest days of her life, and I'd say I can imagine, but I can't. So we just wish her. Keep her in your thoughts and wish her nothing but the best and wish her continued success. And she can still absolutely play soccer after this.
I think she'll bounce back.
I think she'll be fine.
Good player.
And she could be playing on a World Cup team one day, in all honesty.
Yeah, she's a great player.
She's that good. So
hopefully she just overcomes this and moves forward with her hopes and dreams.
Absolutely. Anything else, Ryan?
I don't think so. Okay. It's going to be a long week. I'm pretty excited for President's Ball.
Friday. Yeah,
got
be sure to...
a bunch of friends coming in.
Should be a great time.
Yeah, looking forward to the game. Big game against Maryland. Need everybody out there. If you're listening to this, you're probably going to the game.
Yeah.
Or you're going to watch it.
And again, for listening, we did pass our 1,000th play/download over our three episodes online.
Awesome.
So we do greatly appreciate all of you listening to give us great support and great feedback. We really enjoy doing it. We really enjoy that you guys have a good time. So, Riley, if you don't have anything else, I think we'll just leave them with the tagline. We hope this was another historically competitive podcast, and go Deeks.
Yep, go Deeks.